Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've got some fascinating sources today looking at a generative framework for audio restoration, but it's driven by this really, well, pretty radical idea called the ultrasonic consciousness hypothesis.
It is quite out there. The core concept isn't just about better sounding music, though that's part of it. It's an engineering project aimed at potentially emotional well-being.
Right, emotional healing through audio frequencies we can't even hear. That's the hook.
Exactly. The hypothesis centers on lossy audio compression. Think MP3s, streaming, basically everything since the 90s. It argues that by cutting off ultrasonic frequencies that range from 20 kilohertz up to 96 kilohertz, we inadvertently remove something vital. They call them subliminal carriers of emotional resolution patterns.
Wow. So chopping off those highs didn't just make the audio smaller and maybe damaged our emotional state. That's a huge claim. And the engineers behind this framework, they talk about healing modern digital audio, which they say suffers from three fractures.
That's their terminology, yeah. First, spectral fractures. That's the missing high frequencies we just talked about. Then dynamic fractures. This is about the loss of microdynamics, you know, the subtle loudness changes, largely thanks to the loudness war and mastering.
Making everything loud, squashing the life out of it.
Precisely. And third, perceptual fractures, which is about losing the authentic quality, the persona, especially in vocals.
Okay, so it needs a pretty sophisticated fix. They mention a dual engine solution.
Right, two parts. Engine one tackles the signal itself, those spectral fractures.
So restoring the unheard. How do you even begin to generate frequencies up to 96 kilohertz that just weren't there? What AI does that?
Well, interestingly, they steered clear of GANs, generative adversarial networks. GANs can be fast, but they often create high frequency noise or jitter. And according to the hypothesis, that kind of instability, that jitter in the ultrasonics, is actually detrimental, bad for emotional grounding.
Ah, okay. So stability is paramount, even in the frequencies you don't perceive directly.
Exactly. So they opted for a cascaded latent diffusion model. It's generally slower to train and run, but it's known for producing smoother, more stable output, less jittery.
Makes sense if stability is the goal. But how does it know what ultrasonic sounds to create? You can't just add noise. It needs to be musically related, right? Harmonics and such.
Good point. That's where the representation comes in. The model doesn't work on standard spectrogram. It operates in a constant Q transform, CQT latent space.
CQT. Okay, what's special about that?
Think of it like this. CQT maps frequency logarithmically, kind of like how we perceive pitch or how musical octaves work. It naturally aligns with the harmonic series. So it helps the AI generate ultrasonic overtones that are musically and physically coherent with the audible sound, not just, you know, a random high-frequency static.
Okay, engine one restores the signal, the spectrum, up to 96K, nice and stable. But that doesn't fix the soulless sound, the dynamic and perceptual fractures. What about engine two?
Right, engine two is about restoring the persona. This is more than just timbre. It includes all those tiny fluctuations in volume and expression that make a singer sound unique and, well, human. Things compression often kills.
So how do you capture and recreate that nuance? Standard voice cloning tries to make voices consistent, right?
Exactly. Standard zero-shot cloning aims to minimize variability within a speaker's voice to get a clean clone. This system does the opposite. It uses advanced speaker embedding based on something called subcenter modeling. The idea is to explicitly capture the variation, the dynamic range of expression within a single singer's voice.
So it learns the singer's expressive habits, not just their basic tone.
Precisely. And that allows the model to reintroduce those subtle microdynamics, essentially healing the dynamic fractures.
But wait, if you capture John Doe's persona, how do you apply it to Jane Smith's song without just making Jane sound exactly like John singing his original performance? You need to separate the singer from the song content.
That's the crucial step. Disentanglement. It's tricky. They use an adversarial multitask learning setup. Basically, they train the AI to pull apart three things. The content, like the lyrics, the pitch, the melody, and the timbre or style, which is the persona.
So it learns separate knobs for what is said, how it's sung pitch-wise, and who is singing it stylistically.
You got it. Once they're separated, you can mix and match. Take the content and pitch from the low-quality track, discard its weak timbre, and synthesize a new performance using the rich persona learned from better data.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting, where the engineering choices directly serve that initial wild hypothesis. They have a special loss function, the jitter salience loss.
Yes, the JSL. This is the hypothesis-aware part of the training. It specifically looks at the generated ultrasonic band, the 2096 kilohertz range, and it heavily penalizes the AI if it creates ultrasonic content that's temporally unstable, chaotic, or jittery.
So it forces the AI, based on the hypothesis, to generate stable, coherent ultrasonic frequencies because those are supposedly needed for consciousness coherence.
That's the idea behind it, yes.
Yeah.
Building the hypothesis right into the model's learning objective.
But we can't hear those frequencies, so how do you even know if it worked? How do you validate this, especially the consciousness part?
That's the million-dollar question. Since listening tests won't reveal the ultrasonic difference directly, the ultimate test they propose is psychophysiological validation.
Meaning, measuring body responses.
Exactly. Things like heart rate variability, HRV, which relates to emotional regulation and stress, and EEG, looking specifically at alpha wave activity in the brain, often associated with calm focus. They'd compare responses listening to standard audio versus the full-spectrum restored audio to see if there's a measurable physiological shift, as the hypothesis predicts.
So empirical data on whether these healed frequencies actually, well, calm people down or improve emotional state. Fascinating. Okay, let's say it works. You've got this spectrally perfect, dynamically rich 192 kilohertz audio file. Is that the end goal? Is it truly real then?
Almost. The final piece, according to the sources, to make it feel as real as a person in the room, involves space, location.
Ah, so moving beyond just the signal quality to the listening experience itself.
Right. The future step is personalized binaural synthesis. This means integrating a personalized head-related transfer function, or HRTF. Your HRTF is unique. It's how your specific head shape and ears modify sound waves before they reach your eardrums, telling your brain where sounds are coming from in 3D space.
So taking that perfect signal and then tailoring it with spatial cues specific to your ears, making it sound like it's actually happening around you.
Exactly. That's the final step proposed for turning this technically perfect audio into a fully immersive, almost physically present 3D audio experience. Ultimate restoration might be signal plus space.